Well, amen. Thank you, Dwayne. That's a great song, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. Exodus chapter 20 for the message this morning. Exodus chapter 20, second book in the Bible, and the 20th chapter, that's right after 19. Okay, just making sure you're listening. All right, look please at verse 1. I'm not going to read all the way down to my text verse, but I do want to read verse 1 and then give you a little insight as to what is in this chapter, and then I'll read the text verse. In verse 1, it says, "And God spake all these words." God spoke these words. The words that I'm reading to you this morning as a text verse are the commandments of God. In this 20th chapter, we find that God is giving to Moses what we call the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are basically a summation of the law. And there are 10 things here that God said, and He put them on tablets of stone and gave them to Moses for Moses to read them in the ears of the people. Now, these are not the 10 suggestions. Okay? These are the 10 commandments. These are not things that you say, oh, well, I'll choose this one, I'll do it, and I'll do that one, but I'm not going to do this one. No, these are 10 commandments from God. Now, jump down, please, to the 12th verse. And this is the verse that I want to preach on this morning. This is the commandment that says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now, I want to entitle the message this morning, "The Commandment and the Promise." The Commandment and the Promise. You will notice here that there is a promise connected with obeying this commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's the commandment. And the promise that is connected to it is that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And by the way, this is the only commandment out of the 10 that has a promise connected to it. Paul said it this way. He said in the book of Ephesians that this is the first commandment with promise. And the promise is that you will live long on the earth if you are obedient to your mom and dad. Wow. You say, wait a minute, who said that? God said that. So I speak to you this morning on the commandment and the promise. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you now for the Word of God. And I ask your blessings upon it this morning. And Father, I pray you'll help me as I speak. I want to be a blessing and I want you to use me. But Lord, I also want the message to convict our hearts and to help each and every one of us to make a conscious decision of following and serving you. And so, Lord, use me this morning. I pray for your power and your blessing to be upon the preaching of the Word of God. And, Lord, I do not want my words this morning just to be idle chatter. I want them to be sounding brass and Lord, ringing in our ears. I want, Lord, the Spirit of God to then apply it and use it. And wake us up as to the urgency of the hour. And so, Lord, help us this morning as we look at this tremendous commandment, yet tremendous promise that's connected to it. So bless us together. And, Lord, may Jesus Christ be lifted up and exalted. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Christ's name we ask it. And amen. I would like to, on this Mother's Day, preach a message to you that will, of course, honor all our mothers. I think it's fitting that we should take a day and set it aside and recognize and honor what mother means to all of us. And if you are here this morning and you're like me and your mother is no longer here for you to fuss over, I know there's a bit of sadness in your heart. But nonetheless, there are some principles that you can glean from the message as well. Many of you, though, still have mom with you. And so I want to show you some things from the scripture that I trust will help you look at her today in a different light. I also want this message this morning to help mom to look at herself in a different light and realize just how valuable and just how important she is in her family and in her home. This passage is where Moses was up on the mountain and he received from God what we know as the Ten Commandments. Included in this law was this fifth commandment, honor thy father and mother. But I want you to notice that there is a promise connected with this commandment. When you get over to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 and 2, Paul will tell you that this was the first commandment that contains a promise. And I might add, it was the only commandment that contains a promise. I also want you to remember that the commandments summarized here in the Ten were presented to Israel three different times. Three is always the number of completion in the Bible. And God is three, yet one. Man was created in God's image, and we are three parts, yet one. We are body, soul, and spirit. So three is always the number of completion in the Scripture. The first time they were given, orally by the mouth of God to Moses here in this chapter. And then they were written and given a second time upon tablets of stone, which you remember when Moses came down off the mountain, he shattered these tablets at the feet of the golden calf as he saw the people breaking every one of them that was written on the tablet. And in his protest to their sin, he broke the commandments at the feet of the golden calf. And thus illustrating the impossibility of man to keep the law of God. And then thirdly, they were rewritten and laid up for a memorial in the Ark of the Covenant as a continual reminder of the character and nature of God. Now, folks, I want you to understand that this was and still is a commandment from God. This is not just good philosophy. This is not just something that is thrown into the Bible as a suggestion that that God thinks, well, you know, if you do this, you'll have a better family life and you'll have a better home. No, this is God speaking an edict that He has every intention for us to heed and to follow. And even Jesus, when He came to the earth, gave His full support and confirmation to this law. Let me remind you that in Mark chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, when Jesus was one day speaking to the Pharisees and to the scribes, He said these words, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth father and mother, let him die the death." And so even the Lord Jesus, I mean, knew that this was a commandment from God. And Jesus knew that God expected men to obey what He had said. Now, this morning, I'm going to take three little principles out of this verse. I saw three things in this verse that I want to draw out of the verse and show them to you this morning. And these, of course, can be applied both to father and mother. But for the purposes of our message this morning, I will apply them mainly to mother. Now, in a month is Father's Day. I'll preach the same sermon, only I'll just change it from mother to father. Okay. But nonetheless, I think you can see some important things about mothers this morning. Three things. First of all, as I read this verse, I noticed that in the verse there is a divine responsibility to honor mother. There is a divine responsibility to honor mother. Let me take you back to verse 1 again. Verse 1 says, "And God said." And God spake. Folks, these are the words of God. There is a divine responsibility that is attached to this commandment. God said it. God says that this is our duty, our responsibility, and our obligation. It is not something that we do simply when we choose, or when it's convenient, or when we feel like it, or that we do in some areas but not in other areas. No, this is an edict from God, from the God of heaven, and God says that every child has the responsibility to honor mother. Now, what does it mean to honor? You and I know what it means, but can we put it into words? Well, let me put it into words by putting it into a picture for you. All of us are familiar with what it means for us to honor the flag, for instance. We stand to attention when it passes by. When we go to a parade or we go to a ball game and they have us sing the national anthem, we all we'll stand to our feet take our hats off and put our hand across our heart. We stand to attention when the flag passes by. We swell with pride as we see it raised upon a flagpole, and the tears come to our eyes as we see it flying in the breeze. And what are we doing? We are honoring the flag. For you see, that flag is a symbol of something. That flag is our national symbol. That flag, we understand, is a representative of the sacrifices that have been made under the banner of those stars and stripes that have given us the freedoms and the liberties that our country enjoys today. And so we honor that flag. Well, folks, in the same light, we are to honor our mother and our father. In the same light, we are to give honor to our parents in the same vein. Here's what it means. It means to respect. It means to respect. It means to understand all the sacrifices that were given by mom to make us the person that we are today, and that to enjoy the life that we enjoy today. You see, folks, mom was there to feed you when you could not feed yourself. All right? Now, listen, that right there ought to be enough to make you appreciate your mother. I mean, you wouldn't be here if she had not gotten up through the night and taken the time during the day to feed you. Mom changed your diaper, and thank the Lord she did. Mom put clothes on your back. Mom put coats on you so you wouldn't freeze. Mom nursed your fevers. Mom fixed your skin knees. Mom loved you and provided for your every need. And you need to understand that she did all of this without expecting anything in return. Hey, you ought to honor your mother. You ought to honor your mother. They were all done out of a heart of love for you. And here's the thing. She never asked for anything in return. Her love for you has always been unconditional. And on that foundation, God tells us, commands us, that we are to honor our mothers. Now, how do you do that? Well, it's simple. Honor implies obedience. Let me remind you that the Lord Jesus said, I honor my Father. What did he mean by that? What he meant was that in every area and aspect of his precious life, he obeyed his Father. You never see the Lord Jesus doing anything outside of the realm of the will of his Father. And that's what it means. Can I also remind you that Jesus also honored his mother as well? Even in his dying hour on the cross of Calvary, we're told the Lord Jesus uttered 7 cries from the cross. And one of those cries that he uttered was to the Apostle John when he told John and commanded John to take care of his mother after his death. Now, what does that imply? I'll tell you what it implies. It implies that from the moment of the cross back, he took care of his mother. It implies that he had watched over her and he had provided for her needs. But now that he was going to the cross and giving his life for sin, that she would need someone to step in and take his place. And it's also interesting that when you get to the book of Acts, Just a day or so after the Pentecost, you'll see John on the pages of Scripture, and then all of a sudden John just vanishes from the page of from the pages of Scripture, and he does not come back into the scene until the end of the first century. You say, well, what happened to John? Did he backslide? Oh no, my friend, he was obeying the commandment that Jesus gave him. John, take care of Mama when I'm gone. And when Mary died, then John came back and he wrote for us the Gospel of John and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John and the book of the Revelation. But John took care of Mary. But notice that Jesus honored Mary right to the end. But folks, listen, I want you to look at the tendency of this evil age in which we live. You know, years ago, when back in the 60s, when some of these atheists, or so they say they are, some of these humanists decided that they were going to take the Bible out of school, and they started spouting this separation of church and state stuff, and they decided that young people didn't need the Bible anymore in school, so they took it out. Boy, that's worked real good, hadn't it? I mean, that's worked real well. You know, that was a smart move on the part of our government to take the Bible out of schools. Well, look at what it's produced. We now have a generation of young people who do not know what verse 12 has to say, and they do not know that God expects that the children are to honor their mother. Mom is no longer mom, she's the old lady. Mom is no longer mom. She's been given several other acronyms and names that I would not dare repeat in public. But brethren, I want to serve notice on you. God expects us to honor our mother. And I don't care how old you are or how old she is. The commandment is still there. And God expects us to honor our mothers. Take your Bible, hold your place here, and take your Bible and go over to the book of 2 Timothy for just a moment. And let me show you what Paul said was going to happen in the last days. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Paul said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Hey folks, we're here. These are the last days. Matter of fact, I think these are the last of the last days. I think we're living on borrowed time, if you want my personal opinion. We're not listening for the sound of the trumpet anymore. Gabriel's got the mouthpiece out, and he's warming it up right now. The rapture's going to happen soon. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I don't see how in the world it could continue on much longer. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers." Look at this next one. "Disobedient to parents." We have raised a generation or two of young people apart from the Word of God. And that's what's wrong with our children today. They have no biblical foundation, and they have no sense of what it means to honor their parents. They have no idea of what that means. And that's what's wrong with our culture and with our society today. You'll notice that little phrase, "disobedient to parents." You see, folks, it is the natural heart that finds itself in rebellion and disobedience to mother's authority. Look, Mom, you need to understand that there is a real devil who is out to destroy your children. You need to understand that devil wants to get into the heart of your little ones, and he wants to capture their hearts to keep them away from God and to ruin and destroy their relationship with you. But I promise you that I'm going to do everything that I can from behind this pulpit by keeping the Word of God before them. We're going to preach it to them in Master's Club. We're going to preach it to them in Sunday school. We're going to preach it to them every opportunity we can. And you need to do your part at home so that we together can do all and put forth every effort to keep the devil from getting their hearts. But hey, you need to do your part as a son or daughter and honor your father and mother. So folks, we have a divine responsibility here. We have a divine responsibility. But there's a second thing I want to show you from this. Not only is there a divine responsibility seen in this verse, but secondly, there is a divine representation. Look, please, again, carefully at the verse. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. You see, as a rule, the parents stand for God, and to the child they take the place of the heavenly parent. They are never represented as being on an equality with the child, but rather as in the place of God to the child. And listen, here's what I'm saying. To your child, you represent heaven. You understand what I'm saying? You understand that? Let me tell you something, folks. A couple years ago, I was standing out here in the hallway between services. I was standing out here in the hallway shaking hands with folks. And one of the little bus kids got loose, and he was down here in the hallway. And when he came by, he looked up at me, and he said, "I know you." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah, I know you." And I said, "Well, who am I?" And he just got as serious as he could be. He smiled at me, and he said, "You're God." I started laughing. I said, "No, I'm not." He said, "Oh, yeah, you are. You're the one that stands up there and tells everybody what to do. You're God." And I said, "No, son." And I took my bulletin out and showed him my name in the bulletin. I said, "I'm the pastor of the church. I'm not God." "Yeah, you are." And he turned around and walked away. He was as serious as he could be. Hey, in that child's mind, I was God. I was a representative of God. And I want you to understand, Mom, that in your home, your little ones, your babies, your children look at you, and you are heaven's representative. They see you as being heaven's representative. You see, authority begins in the home, for it is there that human beings have their first relationships in life. And when the home decays, all other authority decays. So it is imperative that we stand before them as honorable moms and dads. If you want your children to honor you, you must stand before them as like Christ and honorable. If you want their love, then you must be lovable. If you want their respect, then you must be respectful yourself. If you want them to be obedient, then you must be obedient. You've got to be obedient to the Lord and do what the Lord wants you to do. Now, let me digress for a moment. I know that some of you get just fed up. I understand that. You get fed up with me harping all the time about coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Well, just too bad. I'm gonna get on you again about it. Now, there's a reason I do this. Folks, listen, I don't think there's a ball game anywhere that's as important as what we're doing right here. I don't think there's a race anywhere. Did you hear what I said? There is not a car race anywhere that is as important as what we're doing right here this morning. There is not a picnic. There is not a party. There is nothing that is as important as God's people coming to God's house to hear God's man take God's book and preach it in God's power. And we need to be in the house of the Lord. Now listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. I know some of y'all get tired of hearing me harping on coming to church, but there are a multitude of reasons I do. But the main reason that I do it is because of your children. I do it for your children. One reason is because of your children. Because you see, Mom and Dad, you stand before your children as God's representatives. Their little eyes see you as the one who can meet their every need, who can calm their every fear, and who can heal their every pain. And one of these days, now you listen to me, one of these days that little one is going to grow up and realize that you are not God. And I submit to you that when that day comes, they will need to turn to the God of heaven to help them deal with the problems that they're going to face in life. And it just bothers me, And I'll be honest with you, it bothers me that folks can come on Sunday morning, and some even hit and miss at best on that, but never come back on Sunday night and never come on Wednesday night and not attend the missions conference one night and not attend the revival meeting one night. And what you're doing is telling your children to be obedient in some things, but not in all things. And what you're doing is you're saying, now you need to obey mom and dad. And what you're teaching them that, no, I don't. You don't obey God. Why should I obey you? Yes, it is. And trust me, folks, they're going to figure things out. They're going to figure things out. Your children are watching you, and they will honor God as they have honored you. And listen, our children are going to learn the ways of the world easily enough. They're going to get the world's influence. And what we must do is instill the truth of God's precious word and instill the truth of finding God's will and extend the truth of getting God's love into their hearts as early and as often as we can do it. I'm simply trying to get you to see that you have a part in this whole arena. Well, Pastor, you know, I can handle life with just hit and miss church attendance. I've been hitting and missing for years now, and I'm not a bad person. I can handle it. But can your children handle it? And you see, you don't know that yet. You understand me? I mean, you don't know that yet. You say, well, I don't have to be here every time the doors are open. I can handle that. You take that up with God, dear friend. Let me just challenge you to take that up with God. Why don't you go home this afternoon and get on your knees and say, Lord, do you expect me to be in church three times a week? Just ask God what He thinks about that. And I'll tell you, you'll be surprised what God shows you. I don't think 4 hours a week, that's really three, because I don't expect you to be in both early service and second service. But I don't think 3 hours a week is that big a deal. What in the world is so important on TV on Sunday night that you can't come back to church on Sunday night? What is that? 60 minutes? I don't get it. Sean Hannity, would you rather get Sean's opinion than God's opinion? I mean, I don't understand, folks. And you know, one of these days we're going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account. And Jesus Christ gave His life for the church. So I ain't ever coming back. I know, that's why I'm giving it to you right now. I'm trying to get you to see that you have a part in this whole arena. Well, I can handle it, but can your children handle it? You see, when your child gets to be 17, 18 years old, and the world has just completely overwhelmed their soul and gotten a hold of their heart, and they start acting rebellious, and they start getting worldly minded, and they start making decisions that you don't approve of, and you go come running to me and say, Pastor, I just don't understand. And you know, I would never say it, but you know, I would want to put my finger out and say, look, you were in church one Sunday a month at best for the last 10 years, and you let that little urchin of yours run your life and control every single minute, and you went and played ball on Sunday when you should have been in church on Sunday, and you went running to the picnics when you should have been in church on Sunday. You're reaping what you have sown. I hate the devil. I'm not mad at you, but I'm mad at him for ruining and destroying our families and our homes. I'm mad at him for getting you to think that, oh, church, if I just go on Sunday morning, that's sufficient. No, it's not. I got to get to my third. What time's lunch? All right, number one, a divine responsibility. I just ought to start over. Just start over with number one. Divine responsibility. Number two, we have a divine representation. But then there's a third principle here. I see a principle of a definite reward. There's a definite reward here. By the way, so, digress again. Some of you are sitting right here this morning, and you're here every time the doors are open, with a smile on your face, ready to serve, ready to teach, ready to do whatever needs to be done. God bless you for that. And you know, years ago, God reached down in the hog pit and pulled you out. God reached down in the hog pen and pulled you out. I don't think any of you want God to have to reach down in the hog pen and get your kids out. You better keep them in church. You better keep them where they belong. All right, number three, the definite reward. Let me just take a minute and speak to all the children and teenagers that are here. Moms and dads, you can listen, but I want to just preach to the kids. I want you to notice in this 12th verse, this is the only one of the commandments that has a promise connected to it. The only one. The question that you might ask, young people, is, well, how am I to obey my parents? Well, Paul answers that in the New Testament in Ephesians 6. And he said, you obey them in the Lord. You obey them in the Lord. You know, this little phrase covers behavior from all aspects. I mean, we are to marry in the Lord. Some of you teenagers, you're just a few years from saying I do. And I want you to realize this book teaches that when you say I do, you can't come along 5 years later and say, nah, I don't. Boy, that's a heavy price to pay. You say, well, love is blind. Yeah, but marriage is a real eye-opener. Amen. You better marry in the Lord. Hey, girls, when he comes with that ring, you better make sure you've talked to God about whether or not He wants you to do that. Oh, but he's got such big, strong arms. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she's just got the bluest eyes in the world. Mm-hmm. But at 7 o'clock in the morning, them things are as bloodshot as they can be. Oh, but he's so strong. Yep, and when he gets my age, you look in the mirror and say, what in the world happened to you? You better make sure God's in this, young people. You marry in the Lord. You serve in the Lord. You pray in the Lord. And mom and dad, you raise children in the Lord. You train them in the Lord. In the Lord. It covers every area of our lives. And young people, listen. In the Lord, you obey mom and dad. You honor your mother and father by obeying your mother and father. And that's important. I mean, you don't want, young person, listen to me, you don't want to get God's hand of judgment slapping you because of your rebellious heart that reveals itself in your disobeying your mother and father. Had a teenager years ago when I was pastoring down in West Virginia, had a teenager in our church. This teenager was about 16, 17 years of age, senior in high school. And I don't know how else to describe him to you other than just to tell you he was cool. Now, he was just cool. He lived for cool. And he had cool down to a science. He walked cool. He looked cool. He dressed cool. He talked cool. He was just cool. He had cool mastered. Athlete. He's a great kid. He was athletic, handsome, funny, witty. I mean, you know, most popular guy in the world. And he got about 16 years of age, and all of a sudden, He was too cool to go to church. You know, he's just too cool. Told mom and dad, not going anymore. Mom and dad brought him in to see me. We sat down, we talked, like talking to the wall. He didn't care anything about the Lord, didn't care anything about being saved, didn't care anything about serving the Lord or going away to a Bible college, didn't care about any of that. He just wanted to be cool. They sent him to talk to his grandparents. His grandparents told him basically the same thing that I told him. He didn't care. His parents were just so distraught. One night, in the wee hours of the morning, I got a phone call from the funeral home director. He said, yeah, we just cut him out of the car and got him back, and family's here. And they want to know if you'll do the funeral. I said, sure, I'll do the funeral. It was one of the hardest funerals I've ever had to do in my life. You say, well, what you say? I'm saying that verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Well, are you saying that God took him out of this world because of his rebellion and because of his disobedience and the broken heart he gave his parents? No, folks, I'm not saying that. But that's what his mom and dad said at the funeral. I didn't say that. But when it came time for somebody to give a eulogy, the dad said it. The dad read that verse of Scripture, looked at all his friends and all of the high school that were there, and read this verse of Scripture and stuck his finger out at them and said, young people, you better follow God and obey your parents. That was good preaching. You say, well, is that why he died? I can't say that that's why he died. I'm not God. I don't know why he died. I didn't have anything to do with taking him out of here. God did it. But I tell you, his mom and dad sure believe that was the reason. I'm saying, folks, that God expects you to honor your mother and father. And you honor mother and father, young people, listen, by obeying mother and father. Now, I know you don't want to hear this, young people, but listen to me. Your parents know a few things that you don't know yet. You see, they've been down the road that you're on right now. And when you go down that road called life, you learn some things. So when mom and dad give you advice and when mom and dad tell you what they think, you'd better honor their word. They know something you don't know. I never will forget when I was a little boy, I thought my daddy hung the moon. You know, I thought when I read about Atlas, in Greek mythology, Roman mythology, I thought that's my dad. He holds the earth on his shoulders. My dad's the strongest man. He can do anything. He's the smartest guy I've ever met in my life. And I grew up thinking that my dad was Superman. You know, he could stop bullets with his chest. He could put his hand out and stop a freight train. And I got about 14 years of age, and I thought, man, what happened to you? You were so brilliant and so smart, now all of a sudden you're dumb as a box of rocks. And then I got about 24, and I woke up one day, and there he was, all smart again. I said, man, what happened to you? He pointed out the problem was not him, the problem was me. You better listen to mom and dad. Young people, when they tell you something, there's a lesson behind it. They're trying to help you. They're trying to give you something that's going to guide and direct you and keep you in line and keep you right, keep you where you're supposed to be. You better honor their advice. You better honor their counsel. You better honor their wisdom. You better honor their insight and obey the things that they tell you. Listen, young people, when your mom and dad tell you don't drink liquor, you better not drink liquor. You say, how do you have that conversation, Pastor? I'll tell you how I had it. Some of you aren't going to like this, but this is what I did. When they were just little guys, like 10, 9, 10 years of age. I told him, I said, you know, one of these days somebody's going to come along and offer you a can of beer or a bottle of beer. I said, we don't drink. We just don't drink. Now, don't drink. And I would make, I said, you look at me, don't you drink. I'd get a mean look on my face and I'd say, that stuff's nasty and it's ruined lives and it'll destroy you. It'll make you sick. You'll be thrown up for days. Don't drink that stuff. And I said, one of these days, somebody is going to come along with a bottle and say, here, Josh, drink this. I said, when that day comes, now remember, 9 years old, 8 years old. I said, when that day comes, you take that bottle out of his hand and you shove it all the way down his throat until you get your elbow stuck on his front teeth. And Josh is just dying laughing. He's just laughing hysterically. You see, I used gross exaggeration. Now, I would have really been shocked if he had really stuck a bottle down somebody's throat. But I made the point. Let me tell you something. Children, your mom and dad tell you that you should not be having physical relations with somebody until you get married. You better listen to them. Especially in this day and age in which we live. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Listen, kids, if a little old mouse ran across the floor of the church, ran up on the platform and ran across here, and then ran down the steps over here, and then ran around and went all the way around the church, you girls, you'd be up in the seat, and you'd be have your hands up, and you'd be screaming, little old mouse, just a little old church mouse running down. And yet you'll go out and park in the middle of the night in the back seat of a car with some rat. Now you explain that to me. Well, we love the old baloney. Baloney. Better listen. Mom and Dad know what they're talking about. You're going to see the death and destruction of your future if you don't listen to mom and dad, that you may live long on the earth. The Word of God is clear, folks. The Word of God is clear. Let me tell you something, kids. Many a young person has ruined their whole life by not honoring mom and dad's counsel and rushing blindly into foolish sin. And once you're in, it's real hard to get out. The Word of God is clear. Honor thy father and thy mother. And mother deserves honor. Not just on Mother's Day, but she deserves honor every day of the year. And dear friend, let me tell you, you may have a lot of people that love you, but nobody loves you like your mother. Honor her. Honor her. Honor that love. The one thing I live with, and which gives me joy every time I think of it, and I think of it often, is the fact that the last words that I ever heard my mother say were, honey, I love you. Last words. Karen and I were over to the house Sunday night. Church was over. We went over to the house to get something to eat. And she fell asleep on the couch. And about 11 o'clock, we got up to leave. And as I was almost about halfway down to the bottom of the hill where we had the car parked, all of a sudden the door opened and she called my name. And she said, you can't leave here without getting a hug. And I turned and I ran back up that long time ago. I ran back up the steps, ran back up the sidewalk and up the steps. And on the top of the step, my mother hugged me, kissed me on the cheek. And she said, I love you. Last words I heard her say. The next day, into eternity. Nothing can take the place of a mother's love. Nothing. May God help every mother in this room to be that representative of heaven. And may God help every child, whether you're 10 or 60 or 70 or 80, to honor mother. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for our time together today, and I pray that you will bless what's been said. Lord, help us this morning to search our hearts in the light of the Scripture. Lord, help us to serve you. I pray for all the moms that are in this room today. And Lord, you know every heart, and you know what's going on in every heart. Father, speak to the hearts of these mothers. May they be heaven's representative to their children. Lord, may they be obedient to you. And if they expect their children to be obedient to them, then Lord, they have to be obedient to you. Father, help us with these things. Help us to apply these things and see these things and how they can work in our lives. And Lord, we're going to trust you for your grace and goodness this morning in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many moms here today will say, Pastor, God's touched my heart this morning and I need to be more of heaven's representative to my family. I need to be a more spiritual mom. I need to be a more dedicated mom. And God's speaking to my heart, Pastor, pray for me this morning. Would you raise your hand all over this building? Let me pray for you this morning. God bless you, folks. Amen. That is a wonderful sight. God bless you, moms. God bless you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Let me ask this question, just generically. How many of us here today will say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart? This includes men folk as well. Preacher, God's speaking to me. You know, I need these principles applied in my life. I mean, you know, I'm not a mom, but, you know, the principles are the same. And God's dealing with my heart this morning. Pastor, pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you all over this building. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Now, two more questions. Number one, how many young people here, how many children here will say, Preacher, God's speaking to my heart today, and I want to be that obedient child. Pastor, I've been having some moments here lately, and I want you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand up? Let me pray for you. Yes, God bless you, kids. God bless you. That's good. Amen. 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 Thank you. All right, now one more question. Is there anybody here today who will say, Pastor, I'm not even sure that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. If I died right now, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I wish you'd pray for me, preacher. I need the Lord in my life. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Let me ask God to help you. I won't embarrass you, I promise, but I will pray for you. Anybody like that? Preacher, I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul. Pray for me, preacher. Could you lift your hand? Let me pray for you right now. I'll ask the Lord to help you. Yes, God bless you, son. I see your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Now, Father, you know our hearts this morning, and I pray that you will deal with every heart in a great way. And Father, help us today to take what we've heard and use it. Lord, it's one thing to hear it, but Lord, help us to use it. And I pray that it'll make a difference, Lord, for these children and teenagers who raised their hands this morning. And Lord, maybe the devil's been after them to rebel and disobey their parents. And Lord, they may be developing a little attitude towards home. And Lord, just speak to their hearts this morning. And may they leave their seats and come to this altar and just lay their all upon this altar and say, Lord, help me to be a better son, a better daughter, and to honor my parents. Lord, I pray for these men. And Lord, you know how you've spoken to every heart this morning. Lord, help us to lay aside everything and just concentrate on that area. And Lord, make some time of prayer. And Lord, just get where we ought to be in our walk with you. And then, Lord, I want to pray also thanking you for all these women that raised their hand. And Lord, as a mother, they realize the awesome responsibility that they've been given. And so, Lord, by you. But yet, Lord, it's not something that you've put on them that they cannot do. They can do it. But Lord, help them to surrender to the authority of the Scriptures and to take the role of and responsibility that they've been given and address it seriously. And Lord, put to practice the things that the Word of God teaches. Oh, Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for loving us. Now bless the invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen.